Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
A system that is doing not more with less, but less with less. That's how a project conducted by Trinity College Dublin has described the Irish healthcare service. It's called the Resilience Project, and it examined how cuts have impacted on the service. While more streamlined, this has been achieved through cost shifting, whereby cost is transferred from the state to the people, and it's costing every person an average of €100. Dr. Steve Thomas is Associate Professor at the Centre for Health Policy and Management in Trinity. He led the Resilience Project. He joins us now. Steve Thomas, good evening.
Good evening.
Cost shifting, will you explain it to us?
Well, I think one of the key features of the austerity period has been the way the government has slowly and but surely increased charges for different items, for introducing charges for prescription items, reducing the subsidy for drug reimbursement, increasing prices for inpatient days, emergency department attendance. So I think those costs of accessing the care or accessing services have slowly but surely been going up. Now, if you add all those things up over the austerity period, what you find is actually the state pushing back €450 million back onto households. So that's an average of €100 per person. But of course, if you're sick or you're old, it's going to be a much higher burden on you.
And at the same time as this cost shifting is happening, will you explain to us what has been happening elsewhere in the health service? And I'm thinking in terms of the cut to the budgets, the cut to staffing, and other cuts right along the way.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think in the first year of the crisis, the government managed to keep health funding reasonably intact. But then, unfortunately, things rather fell apart. And what we see now are cuts over the period of €2.7 billion, around 12,000 staff being taken out. And that's obviously been going on, steadily over 6 years. Now, initially, that may well have flushed out some of the inefficiencies in the system, and actually the system, as our research shows, became a bit more productive, particularly in terms of the hospital sector. More people were seen, more day cases were being run, more outpatient attendances. But unfortunately, now we're finding that just the depth of the austerity is actually pushing us into cuts and rationing rather than into efficiencies.
So at a time when all of this cutting is going on, you also have a phenomenal increase in the number of people accessing medical cards and a large drop in the number of people accessing private health insurance. Is that also impacting?
Well, absolutely. I mean, clearly the burden on the state has increased hugely. I mean, you see almost 600,000 people being brought onto the medical card system, which is a huge increase. And actually, I think one of the success stories of Ireland is that the medical card system has managed to stay intact over that time. But of course, that brings a very large cost implication for the government. So on top of having to make some of the austerity cuts, it's also had to take on board extra people, not only with medical cards, but as you say, also coming from people who were privately insured, now having to use public systems. So again, extra burdens, and that's not likely to go away in the short run either.
How is the system coping?
Well, that's a key question and a key fear now, I think, is that if you keep squeezing, then you are going to have to ration services, which we're seeing now. We're seeing home help hours down. We're seeing less activity in some hospitals. We're seeing, pressure on waiting lists. And I think one of the fears is within the system that patient outcomes will start to suffer. And while we don't have good data on that, I know certainly people within the system are concerned that they've taken a lot of hits, and they're not sure how many more they can take. So there are key questions about patient safety, I would say.
Are you completely opposed to this cost shifting as you describe it, or is what you're opposed to cost shifting that is not more specifically targeted?
I mean, obviously, cost shifting from the state onto individuals in terms of accessing care, I don't think is a very good idea. So in principle, I don't think that's a very effective way of rationing care. I'd rather see care rationed according to value for money criteria or according to a needs basis. But getting beyond that, I think I particularly don't like the fact that the burden has been borne by those who are vulnerable in terms of being sick or are vulnerable in terms of being old. So that seems to be a particularly inequitable cost shifting. And perhaps it's not surprising that people haven't made more of that, because that's not something that would be particularly welcome.
There are positives, though, aren't there, here? There's the cost of drugs have decreased by, I've seen a figure of over 400 million in the five-year period to 2014. The cost of the drug payment scheme halving by more than 300 million.
Well, I think that's right. Some of the drug costs have come down, although they were a little bit later to shift than some of the other costs. The salaries came down in advance of drug costs. And we have to realise that actually Ireland was paying extremely high prices for its drugs, very high by international standards. So it's more like they were coming down in line with other countries. But indeed, there have been substantial savings in that sector. But also the one key point to note about the drug reimbursement scheme is that although that has had some cost savings in it, but because the thresholds are so high now, a lot of people are being excluded out of that system now.
Well, and if we look forward to the plans that James Riley has for the healthcare system, the first phase being the rollout of the free GP care for the under sixes, moving during the term, if he's back in government, to a universal healthcare for all at some stage over the next 5 years. Is the service readying itself to be able to deliver that, or do you believe it can be delivered in the time frame that the minister has set out?
I think the simple things, the low cost things, may possibly be able to be done. So I think I would make a distinction between the free GP care, which is in essence a reasonably simple policy, even if it needs to be negotiated how it's done, and the very complex UHI policy, which requires a lot of capacity and management in terms of its implementation. And we also, as part of the project, did a survey of HSE managers and decision makers, and what we found for them was that although they could see that the reforms were of a key priority, they just weren't getting time to deal with those reforms, and they were spending most of their time just trying to keep the current system afloat and to keep things going and to manage some of the budget cuts. So I think there are key constraints around capacity in the system to change whilst also managing with the recession.
Dr. Steve Thomas, Associate Professor at the Centre for Health Policy and Management in Trinity College. Thank you for joining us this evening.